This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hey guys, welcome to episode 92 of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast. My name is Adam.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Eric.
Hey Eric, hey. Welcome back.
Hey, great to be back, guys.
Eric hasn't been with us in, oh boy, months. Months and months and months.
I haven't talked to him since the Old Guy episode, actually.
That was back in March.
That's a long time ago.
I forgot what episode that was.
Yeah, that was over 6 months ago.
That was. I forgot what episode number that is, if anyone wants to go back. It's like 40-something.
Oh, my gosh. Ish. And now we're at 92. So Taylor Talk is now twice a week, am I right?
Twice a week now. And just to fill you in, Eric, this midweek episode is a little bit of a different structure. And this is also letting any new listeners out there know. It's a different structure. We don't really do the same segments. It's more of an open discussion format, a little more casual, and we don't even edit it, so no swear words. I know how, Eric, you like to slip.
Yeah, it's really strange when I feel like it can just be edited out, but now it won't be, so I have to.
The pressure's on, Eric. You also have to somehow manage to mute your mic every time that train goes outside your window.
My mic actually doesn't have a mute button.
That's a shame.
Yeah, Skype does. Skype does, but not my microphone.
Well, I guess people are going to be hearing that train then. So let's get to the episode, though. I wanted to do a Sweeter Than Fiction recap. Now that we've had a couple days to let it sink in, we've had time for people to give us feedback. We have several emails we're going to go over in just a few minutes, and we're going to discuss them. Emails from listeners, that is to say.
Guys, I am so thrilled, okay? Sweeter Than Fiction, Taylor finally wrote a song about me.
Wow,
that did not get the response that I was hoping.
Eric, that was
a little bit
one.
More supportive. Be a little bit more supportive here, because, you know, Taylor and I were junior high school sweethearts, right?
No, damn, you weren't, up. Eric.
Oh, man. Well, Sweeter Than Fiction, it's actually, I was listening to episode 91, and I was surprised of all the research that Steve did. You know, he didn't find out that concrete fact that it's actually about me. I'm sweeter than fiction.
Steve, why did we invite him back again?
It wasn't my idea.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Brutal honesty in the first few minutes of Taylor Talk 92 here.
Yeah. But Eric, speaking of episode 91, though, our Sweeter Than Fiction review that was our opinions and thoughts, we got some interesting tweets from some Australian listeners that I wanted to share just because I thought it was rather funny. You know, we did our best effort to get the episode out as close to the release of the song as possible. Of course, we had to wait for the song to be released before we could record. That way we actually had the material to talk about. So we kind of rushed it, right? Mm-hmm. And we ended up getting it out roughly an hour and 15 minutes after Sweeter Than Fiction hit the iTunes store in the U.S. And apparently it wasn't out in all countries yet. So we got tweets from these Australian listeners. The first one was at TinyLou13, who said, "The awkward moment when Taylor Talk's podcast about Sweeter Than Fiction is out on Australian iTunes before Sweeter Than Fiction is. Come on, Taylor Swift." So I thought that was funny. And then, of course, our friend at TaySwiftAw said, "Australian iTunes got your Sweeter Than Fiction podcast faster than the actual song itself. Talk about efficient."
Yeah, that's Adam. Model of efficiency.
So I just thought those were rather amusing. I wanted to rub it in iTunes Australia's face.
You know what you should have done to boost next time? You know this now that you guys are faster than the Australian iTunes. You should actually sing the song, you know, on your show. Maybe even play it and get people to download it, you know, because they can't get the actual song just yet.
Well, here's the thing, though, Eric. If we ended up singing it, I don't know if anybody would actually want to buy it when the official version came out.
This is true.
They'd be like, "That's the worst Taylor Swift song ever."
Hey, that's sometimes how things become a big hit. You never know.
Yeah.
What things become like if we were terrible, like that? Well, like what does the fox say?
Something like that, yeah.
That song's pretty bad.
Or you know, like William Hung on American.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Go back a little bit, you know.
William Hung was awful. So, anyway, episode 91, like you said, Eric, was all about what we thought, and I'm glad you got a chance to listen to that before joining us. Now, this episode is What Do You Think? You being the listeners of Taylor Talk, our good friends out there that actually take time out of your day to listen to us ramble on and on about Taylor Swift, which just blows my mind, so thank you for doing that. Anyway, the first email we got was from Tegan, who said, "It is amazing, encouraging, beautiful, well-written, my favorite song, and it is literally sweeter than fiction. I love it. Well done on this song, Taylor. It deserves a Grammy right now. Hope there will be a music video."
You know, that would be pretty cool if the Academy or the Grammy, who is behind the Grammys? Do we know?
The Grammys.
The Grammys. If Mr. and Mrs. Grammy came and presented Taylor in the off season of the Grammys, just with a Grammy for this song, as
Grammy and Grandpa, I think.
Oh.
If they just gave Taylor a Grammy tomorrow and be like, "Hey, you know, Tegan suggested this and we like her. She's our favorite niece or grandniece."
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. That's a fair point, Eric. But you know what I actually pulled out of Tegan's email is when they said, "Hope there will be a music video." So what do you guys think the chances are of a music video for this song? Any chances at all?
You know, I just thought I was back to what you guys said on 91, where this song will most likely end up in the credits of the movie. What's it called? One Chance or what?
Yeah, One Chance.
One Chance. I guess this is a really cruel joke. Somebody could cut the credits out of the movie and put it on YouTube and call it the Taylor Swift music video.
Eric, watch. Now, like a day after this episode's published, someone's going to take your idea.
I'm telling you. That movie has aired, has it not?
It was premiered. It hasn't released yet, I don't think.
Right. So at least that, in that way, there will be a video to this music.
That's true. There's actually, if you've seen the behind-the-scenes iTunes video where Taylor kind of talks about it briefly, that ended up being more music video than her talking about it. Like, at the beginning, she talks about the inspiration for, like, a few seconds, and then the rest of it is the song playing and then showing behind-the-scenes footage of her in the studio recording it and writing it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think there's going to be an official music video for it, and I'll tell you why. There was an interview that BBC's Newsbeat did, and I don't, you know, it's weird. Like, you would think BBC is a credible source, right?
Sure. They are.
But there's something about this article that makes me question it, because I haven't seen this information anywhere else except from them. And they supposedly did this interview with Taylor Swift where Taylor said she actually had to fight with her record label and management team to do this song. Like, they said that they didn't want her releasing any new music until the next album.
Hmm.
And so if it was that sort of, what am I trying to say here? That sort of like tension between the two of them just to do the song in the first place. I mean, what's it going to be with the video?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to want her doing that.
I mean, I think once you commit to a song, it's foreseeable that you would have to do, that she would have to do be able to do a video for it. Like, the song is out, right? I mean, it's in a film, and she did what she wanted, you know, as far as that goes. So, you know, I think she'll be able to promote it. It's still her work. So I think she could probably do whatever she wanted with it.
That's true. I mean, she's the boss in the end, right? I mean, she got the song done.
Right. Was this the first new music in like a year since Red?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the other thing that's strange about that, too, is between Speak Now and Red, there were several songs. Because they had, you know, she did that song with B.O.B. She did two for the Hunger Games soundtrack. That's why I'm a little bit, even though BBC should be credible, that's why I'm questioning it a little bit. Because why would her label all of a sudden get, like, uptight about that? You know what I mean? I don't see why.
Yeah. No.
Was that one of those trains?
It's still going.
Oh, well, I mean, we did promise all the listeners a train ride, so.
Right. I was expecting more of a choo-choo. It's kind of disappointing to me, actually.
You know, I think once we get closer to the month of December, there'll be a little Christmas village set up down the street, and they'll have a train, and it'll go choo-choo, and I'll invite you guys over.
Sweet.
Eric's going to go ride it. So thank you for that email, Tegan. Next email is from Sophia, who says, "Hi, Taylor Talk. It's Sophia. I love, in all caps, Sweeter Than Fiction. The lyrics remind me of Change, but I think I may like it even more than Change. I really like how the tense changes from the beginning of the song to the end, tense being, you know, past tense versus future tense," where she quoted the lyrics then, "Only sound that you hear is no goes to only sound that you heard was no," so it became past tense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the song itself is really inspirational and has a powerful message to not give up because you never know what the future holds. At least that's how I interpret it. Smiley face. So the tense changing, that's actually kind of why I pulled this email. Because in my opinion, it's how Taylor establishes this song as a story, which we were talking on 91 about how this song with a different sound to it sort of relates to her older music. And I think that's exactly it. It still has that same storytelling quality, even though it's a different story. It's not autobiographical and it's a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have a comment on that or not about the way she changes the tense and
I didn't really catch the change in tense there originally, even looking over the lyrics to that. So that was a good catch there by Sophia.
Yeah, it was. And then, Eric, what were you going to say?
She's done that before. You know, I think she's a really masterful writer when it comes to telling a story and when it comes to, as you guys were saying on the previous episode, fitting all the words in, you know, making it and to the point where it doesn't even seem that complex until after you're, you know, kind of letting it sink in.
Right. Now, the other part of that email, of course, was Sophia relating this song to Change. Eric, I know you're a little bit less familiar with Taylor's music than Steve and I might be, but are you familiar with that song?
No.
No. Okay, so it's a song that she did. What was it? Which Olympics was it, Steve? It was like a featured song in the Olympics. I forget what year. Probably. Steve, do you remember? Are you there?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I feel like it must have been 2008. That sounds right, because it was on Fearless. On the Fearless album. Was there were an Olympics in 2008, right?
I believe so. Well, they have it. It's like every 2 years they go winter or summer. I was trying to figure out if it was winter or summer Olympics that year.
Well, either way, the song is also about kind of breaking down barriers and accomplishing huge goals. So I think that was an interesting catch by Sophia, because when we were talking about this song compared to Taylor's other music, none of us caught it between Steve, you, myself, or Diane.
You know what? I'm just looking through the lyrics of Change right now, and I can see the comparison right away. I would say it's. I mean, even the opening lines, it's a sad picture. The final blow hits you. Somebody else gets what you wanted again, and you know it's all the same. Another time and place repeating history, and you're getting sick of it. And at the end, you know, she basically says, "We'll stand up, champions, tonight. It was the night things changed. Can you see it now? These walls they put up to hold us fell back down. You know, all this other stuff. So it's like overcoming adversity, essentially, which I think is really the same theme in both songs."
That's exactly it. That's that's right. It's starting kind of at the bottom and then ending on the top, working your way through.
Mm-hmm.
You keep trucking along, huh?
But Adam, you're not a very big fan of Change, but what do you think of Sweeter Than Fiction if they kind of have about the same storyline?
You know, I think at that point what it comes down to is the music behind it, because they do have the same storyline, and I don't like Change, but I do like Sweeter Than Fiction a lot.
Well, also,
I really
also,
like
with, also with Sweeter Than Fiction, it's the story of the singer loving the character in question who overcome the odds. She's more of I think she's, you know, and I always had faith in you and things like that are also like sort of added dimensions to this song that Change doesn't have. So for that reason, you could like it, because it's another level of intimacy.
Or into me, I see.
Because Change is more of a first person, I guess you would say, you know, that where this one is more dealing with, you know, having that relationship between two people and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's a good observation, Steve. It's more intrapersonal versus interpersonal.
Ooh. Oh gosh.
You like my psychology words there?
Yeah,
that was pretty bad in a cool way.
And in case anyone was wondering where that Into Me I See came from, it was from The Love Guru with Mike Myers.
You know, I've yet to see that. It's I think it's on my Netflix queue. It's like 178 or something like that.
Funny movie, but that's where I got it from. I didn't want to confuse people there, because I quite often do that. I'll make like a weird joke and not explain it.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of you understood it either. So.
Did not have a clue what you were talking about.
Mariska Hargitay, Mariska Hargitay.
That's also from the movie, Steve.
Nice.
Anyway.
Adam, I wanted to clear up the whole Olympics thing. It was the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics.
Okay, so I was right on my guess.
Yes, you were. You were right on.
Woo! Pat myself on the back on that one. Thank you for looking that up, though, Steve.
You're fearless.
Yep.
That was funny, actually, Eric, because that's where Change came off of that Fearless album.
Yeah, you said that. I only listened.
Oh. Anyway, so thank you for those observations, Sophia. Next email is from Stephanie, who said, my favorite line in the song is, proved me right when you proved them wrong. It reminded me of her Rolling Stone interview where she said, this is either where you prove the people who you like or who like you right, or the people who hate you right. I also think this song can be related to Taylor herself, even though her main inspiration was Paul and his wife. And I personally, I have to give Stephanie credit for actually remembering a quote in which interview it came from, because I get them confused all the time because Taylor's always doing interviews. Mm-hmm. However, I do think this points out how integrated everything Taylor does is with one another. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. Like how she has a cohesive, coherent, you know, personship. She's about the same thing. She's kind of very black and white. Maybe that's another topic for later, or maybe she's just being motivational, and motivational phrases like this tend to be black and white. You know, shoot for the stars, etc. But for her to say, you know, either you prove the people who love you right, or the people who hate you right. It's not like, yeah, everybody's lukewarm to you. No, there are people out there who hate you. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody hates Taylor, Eric.
Yeah.
Haters gonna hate.
No, but Eric, I think you hit it right. And what I was trying to get at was just the consistency in her belief pattern. And I think that's one of the things that makes Taylor Taylor, is because people always ask, how can you relate to Taylor? And she remains consistent in her beliefs and everything she says and everything she believes in, which I don't think a lot of celebrities do. And that's why they lose credibility. And I think that's why Taylor has actually remained a role model. Mm-hmm. So I think Stephanie with this email actually hit on something even deeper than, you know, just the lyrics being the same as, same as something she said in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally. Agree.
You guys are making me doubt myself. Like, cause I keep speaking and get no response. And I feel like Steve doesn't agree with me, but he doesn't want to say it.
No, you just need to take a breath after you say something, so we get a chance to say something back.
Okay. I'm breathing right now. Go, Steve.
We agree.
I'm breathing.
Okay. That's good. Why don't you go to the next one?
All right. Next email is from Nozomi, who said, after listening to the song a few more times, I think the chorus is this life is sweeter than fiction. Kind of makes sense, as the song is about the ups and downs of life, which is what ultimately makes it beautiful, or in other words, sweeter than fiction. Another interpretation could be that since winning Britain's Got Talent and gaining access to the glory that comes with it, reality has become sweeter than fiction for Paul Potts and his wife, the love element. Never in their wildest dreams did they expect the things that happened to do so. While this song may be about Paul Potts, it is relatable, and it can be used to highlight all the accomplishments we make against all odds.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think the first thing to pull out of that is, after listening to it a few more times, do you guys agree this life is sweeter than fiction?
Yeah, I paid close attention to that when I was listening just before we sat down to record this. And I think it is life. And Diane on the previous episode raised the possibility that it was life sometimes and love other times. I think it was life. I only heard life. But, you know, I think songwriters are open to doing that, and they've done that before where they change up a word or two, especially Taylor, actually, now that I think about it.
Right. However, I think you're right, though, Eric, that it is life every single time, because I think what made us kind of doubt it was a lot of the lyric sites before the song came out used this love is sweeter than fiction. And I think they were getting it from that awful audio that somebody put online that was at the premiere of the movie and like recorded the ending credits on their phone. And it was just a clip of it. And so I think that's where people got it from. I have yet to see any official lyrics on TaylorSwift.com. However,
I was going to ask about lyric sites and how they get them, because I mean, you know, these sites that I, even on here, I'm looking up, you know, AZ Lyrics, for instance, they have the lyrics to this song that where the official lyrics aren't on the official site. So are they listening to the song and typing them up? Are, you know, people doing it? Are people listening and sending them in to the site for it to be published? Is there an approval process? Who's approving it? you know, it's you almost see these you know, lyric sites all kind of getting together and fighting each other for the scoop on Taylor's latest song. You know, who's going to be the first with the lyrics, and how accurate are your lyrics all the time? It's like, makes me think like I got into the wrong website business. You know, we had some rivalries with the Harry Potter website industry, but nothing like this.
Well, Eric, I actually have azlyrics.com pulled up with the Sweeter Than Fiction lyrics, and AZ Lyrics is definitely, in my opinion, the biggest one of these lyric sites. That tends to be where I go.
They won they won the war for Google for what shows up first on Google, I think.
That's true. You're right on that. That's probably why I always go to it. And they say this life is sweeter than fiction every single time. And to answer your question, at the very bottom, it says, thanks to Anna for adding these lyrics. Eh? And so I think it is, what do they call it? Crowdsourcing, right?
Yeah.
Where they get information
submitted kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Submitted content.
And I'm looking up another lyrics. Actually, it's for Mean, oddly enough. But the bottom of that one, they say thanks to Slay for adding, Alexandra Kim, Mary Corley, Maddie for correcting.
Right. So now that's the next point I was going to say.
It looks like it's peer edited, yeah.
There is a link there that says submit corrections right below the thank you to Anna.
Still, I kind of don't like that, right? It's like, not to get off on too much of a tangent here, but ultimately it's still it's still not being professionally edited by a nameless cog in the bigger machine. You know what I'm saying here? Well, that there's no rep from Taylor spreading these lyrics out to these sites.
Right.
The only other way that you could have the correct lyrics that would be published a different way is like if you actually had like the physical CD and they had the lyrics in the you know, soundtrack book there.
Do Taylor songs or Taylor albums have the lyrics printed in the booklet?
They do.
Yes.
Like consistently or?
Yes.
Yes, because there are secret messages that you must decode.
Oh, secret message.
Yeah.
Is it like putting the first letter from every line together?
No, there's random capital letters throughout. And when you put all the capital letters together, it spells something.
That's cool. I got to look into that.
And quite often it's a hint as to what the song is about, who's it about, things like that.
Okay.
So, and you can actually, Eric, if you don't have a physical copy of the CD, on TaylorSwift.com, when you click the music tab at the top, it has lyrics for all the songs, and it is written out as it is in the booklet.
Well, you know, this has just been a great learning experience for me, and I hope that there were there was at least one more listener out there who didn't know that about TaylorTalk.org, who is now going there and going to look at those secret messages.
Eric, I think everybody listening knows about the secret messages.
You never know.
Well, when we do our song analyses here on the show for Taylor's actual work off her albums, we always talk about the secret messages and try and interpret their meaning. So,
okay,
maybe you'll join us one time, Eric.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So, what was the other part of Nozomi's email here? Talking about reality has become sweeter than fiction for Paul Potts and his wife. I think that's more or less it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's up for interpretation, really, unless you guys have a different interpretation on that. I mean, that's what Sweeter Than Fiction is.
I guess ever since I heard the title of the song Sweeter Than Fiction, I was thinking that it was an obvious play on the phrase reality is stranger than fiction, which is just a saying that, you know, regardless of what you can come up with, what actually happens is in many cases stranger and grander. In life, it's just, you know, it's just a saying about how life does what it wants, and is the biggest extreme. So, you know, I liked it for that reason. I thought, well, okay, I'm going to confuse it with the 2007 movie with Will Ferrell and Emma Thompson, but you know, still, I like it, and I think the song is a good one. By the way, Adam, you never ever asked what I thought about the song, but I like it.
Eric, we're not at the end of the episode yet. You didn't know where I was going to put that in, so I...
why would you put it at the end? Not to question you.
You accuse me of not actually asking your opinion. However, once we got through these, I was going to be like, there's our listener opinions. Eric, as someone who listened to 91, what did you think? But you didn't let me get that far yet, so...
But if you expect me to respond to some of these people's thoughts on the show, on these songs, you probably... could have asked me for mine just for perspective first.
Okay, so we take a moment, an intermission from our regularly programmed scheduling to ask Eric, what is your opinion on Sweeter Than Fiction?
I liked it.
Okay, back to our emails. unless you had more, Eric.
Who's next?
Next one is Steph, Little Town Street 13 on Taylor Connect, who said, I loved episode 91. Well, thank you. I thought I would tell you my thoughts about Sweeter Than Fiction. I absolutely love everything about the song. It's catchy, fun, and it has an adorable story behind it. It's definitely one of my favorite Taylor songs. I had a completely different interpretation of the line, your eyes wider than distance, than you guys did. When I heard the line for the first time, I immediately pictured the horizon and wide open spaces. It made me associate the line with Paul Potts picturing, wow, say that 10 times fast, Paul Potts picturing. A bright
and Paul Potts picturing Paul. I can't do it.
A line with Paul Potts picturing a bright and long future ahead of him. All in all, I think Taylor has done a brilliant job. I'm excited to see what album 5 is like. So, there's two parts to that email I want to tackle. The first one is that line, "Your eyes wider than distance." So, just to recap the last episode, which Eric, you should already know since you listened, but we kind of interpret that as meaning that Paul Potts was wide eyed. Like, look at everything in front of me, all this opportunity. So I actually don't know if that interpretation is that much different.
Well, distance as in like a horizon, like off into the distance. I don't like this line. This is probably my least favorite line in the whole song.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, well, just because it's not specific. It doesn't say a distance or the distance or what distance. It's just longer than wider than distance. Like, okay, but distance is a variable. It can be anything you ever want it to be.
Well, it's definitely a little obscure, and it's definitely, like, well, strange.
It's but that's like, what makes it interesting.
That is what makes it interesting.
No, look, it's certainly poetic. Nobody's saying it's not. And the fact that it's vague makes it a little bit more poetic. I guess, you know, the rest of the song I find is pretty literal or concrete, though, in comparison.
That's true, but maybe this line was designed to represent certain feelings that are not necessarily the most, what's the word, like tangible? Like, do you guys get what I'm trying to say? They're not, you can't measure them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the line, that was the purpose of it, was to remain obscure and less concrete than the rest of the story, Eric. So, to counter your point, well, I just countered your point.
Well, here's the and it's part of the chorus. There you'll stand 10 feet tall, unafraid. I knew it all along. Your eyes wider than distance. This love is sweeter than fiction. So,
did you just say love or life?
Oh yeah, I'm on Metro Lyrics, and they say love now. Let's make fun of Metro Lyrics. It is life, but they have love. Huh? There you go. And who?
What?
They don't credit who sent it. They don't credit who sent in their lyrics.
Well, Eric, maybe you should submit a correction for them.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Oh, yep, correct. There's a little pencil. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, guys. I can. It gave me full editing of this whole page. I can edit. I'm putting capital letters in here right now.
That's a real secure system. But anyway, Eric. So what were you saying though in regards to the course? I interrupted you and distracted you with that love versus life thing.
Well, the 10 feet tall, I mean, he's up on stage and he's feeling confident about himself. So I don't. But then again, if he's feeling confident, why would his eyes be wide? I don't really know. It seems
the
that
crowd
seems
in front of him.
Yeah, like deer in headlights. But then he's not 10 feet tall.
No. Like okay. As in like taking it all in, kind of what we were referring to in 91 there, where it was, you know, wide eyed to seeing everything that's going on and happening. Well, hard to say.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, Steve.
I like the Dixie Chicks reference in their wide open spaces. That's at least what I thought when I started seeing that.
Do you know what is kind of neat, though, with the 10 feet tall line? Is the fact that that's both literal and metaphorical. Because when he's on stage, he is roughly 10 feet tall relative to the audience members. But then it's also 10 feet tall as a metaphor, meaning like he feels on top of the world. And full of confidence.
Wow. I like that.
Isn't that interesting? It's just that's something very, I thought of right now.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Cool. So the second part of that email ties into our last email. That's why I didn't quite tackle it yet. But Melissa also emailed us. Said, I love Taylor's new song, Sweeter Than Fiction. I love the new pop vibe. And most of all, I love the lyrics. They're so inspirational and moving. I hope Taylor's next album will feature similar songs to this one. So both Melissa and Steph said something about her next album and whether or not we can come to expect something like this. So do you guys have any thoughts on that? You know, Taylor said it's going to be different again. Is this kind of a preview of where she's going?
I don't know. I mean, do we have any indication that she's working with the same people on her fifth album as she is with this particular song?
Well, this song she wrote with Jack Antonoff,
mm-hmm.
of Fun. That's really all we know, absolutely. I feel like I could be wrong or off base on this, but in one of the recent interviews, because she's been kind of teasing with fifth album plugs, you know, in recent interviews. And again, I could be making this up, but I could have sworn she said there are co-writes on there.
Hmm.
Who she's co-writing with, she hasn't revealed, but I'm pretty sure there are co-writers on here. And Steve, you also alluded to the fact that, and speculated a little bit on whether or not Jeff Basker was involved in this, correct?
Yeah, kind of, at least from the part of, you know, Jack Antonoff. You know, his whole album there, when he became part of Fun, was done by Jeff Basker. So, you know, it kind of made sense in a way. But still, we don't know who the true producer of the song is, though.
Not yet, but he has also produced a couple of Taylor songs, which, you know, there may be a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not. So, I mean, and for the most part, Taylor also, who we don't know whether or not he worked on this song, but Nathan Chapman tends to be a regular producer of hers. So sure. I would imagine we'll see him again on the fifth album. And kind of getting off of Sweeter Than Fiction, answering your question, Eric, about do we know who she's working with yet?
Mm.
But the short answer is no, we don't know who she's working with on the fifth album quite yet, other than herself.
I think it could really be anything, you know. There seems to be, in retrospect, a natural progression for any artist, but I don't think that this is going to be a hip-hop album necessarily, or...
Well, I speculated it was going to be an opera album. Because, you know, she loves Paul Potts now, so.
Right. Well, he can contribute to the tracks.
Well, do you know what is something I would like to see more of on the fifth album? And this is actually related to Sweeter Than Fiction, so I'm not going too far off topic here. Is something I noticed that I did not notice when we recorded the last episode, because last episode I had only ever listened to the song on my computer, which, you know, I've got a MacBook Air. The speakers are functional. Mm-hmm. They're not by any means good. And I do have a much better stereo system in my car, where I finally rocked out and I've had Sweeter Than Fiction on repeat. Something really cool that she does in it is... the sound, she uses the different channels of sound to move the music around. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the earliest example of this I can think of, and kind of one of the pioneers in that area of using the two different channels of stereo tracks to move the sound around like that, was the Beatles when they did Her Majesty in 1969. If you listen to that, it's almost as if the music forms an arch over you. It starts on the left, then goes diagonally up to the left, then up straight above you, then up to the right. It forms like an arch over you, and the music actually moves. And if you happen to have a chance to listen to Sweeter Than Fiction on the or on a good stereo, you'll actually hear at the beginning the like thing. I can't do it. I don't know.
It's got the coolest drum beat.
Yeah, it actually starts on the left, and then you hear the snare come in on the right. And then the guitar comes in and it becomes all one sound, and the sound actually moves around you and it becomes a total surround sound experience. And it's really unique. And I can't think of another time Taylor has done that before.
Yeah. Don't know.
Sorry. That was a really like long.
Yeah,
breathful...
Maybe that just helps that people will mostly be hearing her song in the theater, you know, with this movie.
That's a fair point. It could have been produced based on where it's going to be distributed.
Yeah, certainly one thing to consider.
But either way, I don't know if there's much talking to do on that, but it's definitely something, if you guys have a good stereo to listen to, or a great set of headphones or something, definitely check that out. It's really unique, and it provides a totally different experience listening to this song than when you listen on, you know, just regular speakers. So, Eric, so what did you think of Sweeter Than Fiction?
You know, I really liked it. I think it's obviously, oh, thank God, a fast song, right? I felt the same way as you guys did. I like it. I love it when she does stuff that has a beat. I love it when she, 'cause her voice pulls it through, you know, and it isn't just, it still stands out from everything else that's out there, I think. And there's a heart to it. There's a particular heart in especially in believing in somebody. It's just, and she's not gloating. That's the one thing I wanted to point out is, you know, she's really not bragging about having called this guy out on his talent long before anyone else believed in him. It's just a sweet song about supporting someone, you know. So I really like it for that.
Cool. Thank you for sharing. So I actually thought of something else with this song, and I've been asked on several occasions by Taylor Talk listeners who quite often get in debates, we'll say. We don't want to use the word fight or argument, but debates with other people who claim, oh, Taylor, blah, 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 she only writes about breakups. I have a response now. Sweeter Than Fiction.
Nice.
I just thought, well, I know, it sounded like I was going somewhere with that, didn't it?
It did seem like that, but I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, that's a good one to back it up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, some odd stuff, I guess, before we get going. Actually, sorry. Thank you for everyone who emailed in their thoughts and opinions and made episode 92 of Taylor Talk possible. So who are all our people? Melissa, Steph, Nozomi, Stephanie. Ooh, two Stephs. And Sophia, and finally Tegan. So thank you to all you guys for submitting, and everybody else who shared their thoughts that didn't quite make it into the episode. Thank you to you guys as well. So, Eric, you wrote your name in our notes here for this episode, what? And I'm not really sure why.
I wrote, did somebody get rid of what I said before? No, there's a Billboard article. I know this isn't the episode in which you guys do news, but I just want to read the opening line of an article I came across while doing some research here about this song. And it's in Billboard. It was published yesterday, written by Grady Smith. And the opening line of this article says, "Whip out your pink tux and pierce your left ear. Taylor Swift wants to take you to a 1980s prom." So they think that Sweeter Than Fiction sounds like an 80s bubblegum song.
Actually, I think there's
Steve's the only one that was alive.
No,
Eric and I were alive in the 80s. We were just babies.
Actually, there's a real interesting tweet, and actually I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the last episode there, but Jack Antonoff was talking on Twitter to Haley Williams from Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioned about, do you hear the John Hughes sound in it?
Oh.
And John Hughes, if you're not familiar, is a director of a lot of the classic 80s movies that had like the Brat Pack in it.
Yeah.
Really?
So that, I think, actually does have a little bit of credibility to it for the Billboard article there.
See, here I was trying to say that it was super ridiculous and I didn't hear the 80s at all in it, but you know,
apparently, the co-writer did.
I would just need I would need a sample of actual 80s, whatever this guy is calling bubblegum music. Look, it's not like I'm unfamiliar with the 80s. I guess I'd be more familiar with the 70s and 60s music, but still, I'm thinking of like Kim Carnes, you know, Betty Davis eyes, slow power ballads, what's the other one? White Snake. But you know what I'm saying. Like I don't particularly hear it, but that's just because I haven't lived long enough in that era.
Right.
Obviously, if Jack, not Jeff, right? Jack.
Jack
says Jack.
Yeah, says Steve likes to confuse the two.
In there, but then it
sounds like John Hughes. Yeah.
All these J names, like four letter J names.
I know.
Killing me. Jack, Jeff, John.
But yeah, I mean, in Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, that sort of thing.
Yep, exactly.
Even St. Elmo's Fire. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Had 1985 reference, Bowling
Pursuit.
That
song, actually, I know is John Parr, Man in Motion. St. Elmo's fire. I heard that when I worked retail all the time back in the day. It's a great song if you ever get a chance to listen.
So I'd like to point out to you guys what a large portion of our audience right now is either born in the 90s or 2000s, and you guys are dating yourselves.
Sorry. But we're introducing them to good things that they may have missed.
May have missed by not being born yet.
And now they don't ever have to go back and listen to it because Taylor is providing it fresh off the press.
Thank you, Taylor.
That makes me feel sad, actually. Yep.
Well, they do always say that trends come back around. Trends always come full circle.
Oh, so. When is disco coming back? You know what? Can we forget disco? Can we have another, big band? Can we have another big band or what was Zoot Suit Riot? What was that?
Eric, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Genre. We need that genre back.
Eric, about the disco, that actually has been a couple of recent songs. You know, Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars loves that whole disco and shiny pants type thing.
There we go.
Treasure. So, Treasure was the song, obviously.
Yes.
I got to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely, and if you watch his performance at the Billboard Awards, Eric, he's all in like a gold shiny suit and everything performing that song. So, and then there's your disco.
And also Daft Punk, Get Lucky. That was another one that was very disco-esque.
Yes, actually, I do love me that song. And maybe sort of subconsciously, it is due to the very overt disco tune to it.
So guys, how about that Sweeter Than Fiction and Taylor Swift?
Oh yes.
Oh, her.
How about hey Adam, how about next item in the doc, that dream you had, huh?
Oh, you want to? It's oh man, okay. You called me out on it. I was gonna save it for another episode because this one's starting to run long, but I'll just tell it briefly just because Eric brought it up. So I had a dream the other night, and it was one of those dreams that I was very sad to wake up from. And, basically in the dream, I got a text message from Taylor's mom, Andrea. Now, how Taylor Swift's mom would have my cell phone number, I couldn't tell you. But Taylor Swift's mom texted me and was like, I have a special project for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is it? And it turned out she wanted me to be a stunt double in Taylor's next music video. And I was very excited about it. And I was like freaking out. And then I woke up.
Wow.
So that's more or less what happened in that dream.
Do you do stunts, Adam?
Do you do your own stunts, Adam, in your dreams?
Apparently I do in my dreams. I've never really done stunts in real life, but I can try.
Have you ever sledded down the hill in your backyard in the wintertime?
No.
Oh, it's never snowed in your backyard.
It has snowed, Eric. I have pictures of my backyard covered in snow, palm trees and all.
Well, I was going to say that would have classified as a stunt in my book.
I'm sorry, Eric. I haven't done that, but apparently the dream version of Taylor Swift's mom has faith that I can do my own stunts. Why they need a stunt double in one of Taylor Swift's music videos, I don't have the answer to that question either. I'm sorry.
Probably jumping from a burning train. Her fifth album will all be about transit. Traveling.
It's a concept album.
Yeah. There will be a song that's just the beat is actual like a train on the tracks.
I actually do have a more relevant story, though, if you want to hear that one.
Absolutely.
Sweeter Than Fiction. So, like I said, I've been rocking out in my car lately, and I was driving home from work today, and I had my window down through a construction zone, and they had a lady in a hard hat there wearing the or carrying one of those signs that says slow, like reminding drivers you have to go slow through a construction zone. Probably one of the most useful jobs in the world. Anyway, so she was just standing there looking bored out of her mind, right? And I had, of course, Sweeter Than Fiction blasting with my window down. When I drove by, she totally gave me one of those, like, what the moments and, like, watched me drive away. It's pretty funny.
No thumbs up or anything?
No, I think she was trying to figure out why a grown man had like... Well, the funny part of it, Steve, is it wasn't like at any part of the song. It was at that part where there's roughly 45 seconds left when it gets really powerful and it's like, there you stand, you know, like that part.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the part literally right when I got next to her. So it made her jump and it made me laugh in the meantime.
Adam, you make it all right for men everywhere to do the most ridiculous things. That's awesome.
Thank you, Eric. I'll take that as a compliment.
It was meant as one. It was meant as one. That's totally cool.
Well, this episode is getting long. And so sadly we have to go. But I wanted to give a couple random shout outs before, because we have two brand new listeners that reached out to us. And I just thought that was cool that they reached out to us, so I wanted to give them a shout-out. So, at Katie Savichian, I don't know how to pronounce that, on Twitter, said, "Why am I just finding out about this Taylor Talk podcast? Listening to 45-minute episodes of Taylor Swift talk? Yes, please." So, hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Next one is at Katha265. "Just listened to Taylor Talk for the first time. You guys are great. Loved it so much. Love from a German Swifty to you." So, hello in Germany.
Guten Tag.
Oh. Eric nice. Speaks German, apparently. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
That's why you had him on this episode, I assume.
Just for the final show. I finally fulfilled my purpose. Yes.
Exactly. That's exactly why I invited Eric, because I knew we had a German listener that needed a hello in German.
There we are.
Anyway, so last quick thing before we go, guys. The Taylor Talk contest, Taylor Swift Through the Years, is still open until November 1st. And just to recap on what prizes are in there, you got a Red Tour VIP bag, a Fearless Tour Speak Now World Tour and Red Tour books, sealed original Taylor Swift album, a sealed original Taylor Swift Deluxe album, both of which were pulled from shelves years ago and you cannot get anymore, a sealed copy of Beautiful Eyes, a Taylor Swift red iPhone 4 case, a Taylor Swift sound amplifier, a red rubber bracelet. There's another one you can say 10 times fast. And then finally, of course, a Taylor Talk t-shirt. So it's a huge prize pack. A lot of entries we've gotten already. But as I said before, you know, don't be discouraged by the fact that there are already like 2,200 entries thinking, oh, I can't win when that many people entered, because if you don't enter, then you really have no chance of winning. So visit Taylor.
You have one chance.
What's that?
I used it before, but I'll use it again in this episode.
Yeah, guys. So visit taylortalk.org/contest. There's an entry form there for you to fill out. So go do that. Go enter. And of course, the winner will be announced on our live episode the day after the contest ends on November 2nd. The live episode will air on youtube.com/taylortalk13. And of course, if you forgot those details, taylortalk.org is the place you want to visit. Visit taylortalk.org/contact to contact us. Otherwise, we will see you on our next episode, 93. We are quickly approaching 100. So that's exciting, huh?
That is exciting. Yeah.
Eric, do you remember when you hit 100 of MuggleCast?
I do. You know, this will be, if it's anything like the same, because at episode 100 of MuggleCast, we got the 7th and final Harry Potter book. So,
oh, really?
It was a pretty big deal. Maybe we'll have the 5th Taylor album by a couple
weeks.
End of this year.
Not quite. But anyway, special thanks to Eric again for joining us. It's been several months, and it's always
pleasure,
great to have
Steve
you.
Steve and Adam, it was great podcasting with you guys again.
Yay.
It's always a good
talking
time.
Talking Taylor.
Taking Eric out of his Harry Potter comfort zone.
It's true. And it is so comfortable, Harry Potter zone.
It is. And speaking of that, actually, I don't know if I ever officially announced that I have joined the panel of another podcast that Eric and I are both on called Hogwarts Radio, which is a Harry Potter podcast. So what?
Yes. Oh, I said gasp.
Gasp. So Eric, are you technically a regular host on that? I don't even know what you are. You seem to always be there when we record though. So
I'm a consulting host. Let's call it that.
All right. Either way, Eric and I both host a Harry Potter podcast along with some friends called Hogwarts Radio. So go check that out if you're into Harry Potter. All right.
You know, I have to tell one final story before we wrap up.
Oh, geez. We're like approaching an hour already.
Oh, gosh, you old lady. What, do you have a bedtime? Come on.
Eric, no, I have to explain that these midweek episodes were only ever meant to be about 20 minutes to a half hour. So
meant to be.
It's a special edition because Eric's here.
If there's Taylor to be talked, why would we not talk it till we can't talk no more?
All right, Eric, talk about Taylor. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that I was trying to text the hotline for Taylor Talk earlier today, and Adam, you witnessed this. I was typing in the 24031 Swift number, and I actually realized that my when you start a new message, it doesn't include the alphanumerics, so I couldn't figure out the last, you know, five numbers to put in. So I had to go about things a different way. I'm on the iPhone, and I'm thinking, well, I can't get the alphanumerics unless I call somebody. So I had to call the number, 24031 Swift. And I decided to call it. I was going to end the call and then just go to my recent call list and then find the number and then be able to text message via that interface. I just really wanted to text and say Diane was the cutest person ever on the previous episode. That was my feedback. But once I started calling, I became curious. And I became curious to find out what the voicemail, you know, what the message is that you say to say, hey, thank you for calling in or whatever.
What is it? I recorded that so long ago, I don't even know.
Well, I decided to stay on the line and, you know, figure it out. Well, after it rang about 10 times, it actually, the line went dead. And 30 seconds later, I got a text message from you saying, sorry, I'm still at work. What did you need?
Because I thought you were calling me. When I see you calling, I don't think it's a Taylor Talk voicemail.
So people, ladies and gentlemen, if you call that number, you actually will get Adam, apparently.
Well, Eric, we actually mentioned on a past episode, I have on rare occasion answered calls to the Taylor Talk line before just to catch people off guard. The reason I don't do it that often, though, is because we get so many people calling that number thinking they are calling Taylor Swift herself.
Right.
And so I don't want to answer and have them be like totally put off and they think they're doing something cool calling Taylor Swift. And really, this guy named Adam in Las Vegas answers the phone.
How cool would it be, though, if Taylor Swift had her own like 800 number, like 1-13-13 Swift or whatever it is.
Well, in all fairness, Eric, to the Taylor Talk number, we get calls and text messages every day of the week, so I can only imagine if Taylor had an official number. I don't even think the system would be capable of handling all the calls it would get.
Right.
So you never got to the voicemail part, though, so I need to
go back
and see what I said.
I still don't know what it is. You know, I imagine it would be a super over-earnest you sounding so young with an old mic saying, thanks for calling in. Leave us a message. Your thoughts on Taylor. I do a terrible Adam impression.
That's okay. I'll
so
forgive you.
There's only one Adam.
That's the truth. That is the truth. There is only one Taylor and there is only one Adam. Everybody else, there's multiple.
Thank you. If there's only one Taylor and one Adam, does that mean the two of us are destined to be like best friends?
Or like... what's the word? Not fishwives. Old maids.
Oh, ouch.
That's not very nice.
No. That hurts deep down. But I do want to tell everybody, though, that we do get voicemails and text messages all the time. So don't be discouraged by Eric's experience. I think it was his fault, not the Taylor Talk line.
Well, I think it was my fault. I think it was because it was a recognized number. That it just didn't give me the normal treatment. It gave me the special to Adam's personal phone while he's working treatment.
That's probably accurate.
So, yeah. But as I said, you know, in reply to you, I was just trying to leave a voicemail praising Diane.
Well, thank you for trying to leave us a voicemail, Eric.
And, yeah, you know, I tried.
And Diane is going to be listening to this episode, so I'm sure she will appreciate your thoughts, and you'll end up getting a text message from her when you're asleep tonight about how special you made her feel.
Well, you know, I actually just, after I failed at that, I actually just texted her directly and told her.
Well then, I guess that answered that question.
Why didn't you just say that at the beginning? We could have saved 10 minutes.
I know that time is valuable to you guys, so I will be quiet and wish the listeners a happy week full of Taylor and listening to this song.
Right. And remember, guys, if you want to contact us, like I said, taylortalk.org/contact has all of our contact methods that I always list off and run out of breath doing. But they're all in one place, so why do I need to do that right now?
24031 Swift.
24031 Swift. Eric, I'll quiz you really quick. Do you know why I picked that number, setting aside the area code?
Well, I'm sure that 13 Swift wasn't available, so you used the inverse, 3-1.
That's actually 100% accurate. I did try to go for 13 Swift. And that's how I ended up with
240 the local Vegas area code?
No, 702 is Vegas area code. 240, I'm not really sure where it is. But,
well, it has to be one of those ones that was bought out specifically for commercial hotlines like that.
No, it is. It is an actual zone, 240. However, I only used it because that was the only place I could get the closest thing to 13 Swift.
Like in the entire U.S. and Canada?
Yeah, I couldn't get it. It seems to be 240s for the western half of Maryland.
Huh. Well, a lot of government numbers, I guess, out that way in those states.
Okay, let's stop rambling now. All right. So for episode 92, guys, this has been Adam,
Steve,
and Eric
saying bye, guys, and we will see you all on Monday for episode 93. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
That was like the worst woohoo I've ever done.
It was pretty bad.
All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Take care.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.